stood at 5 feet 6 inches, but he carried himself as if he were 6 feet tall. He'd always had charisma. It's why Evie's mom had spoiled him so much. "What can we do?" a male voice from somewhere in the room asked. "The government finally gave in to our demand for marijuana, but only if they take all the money from it. The new pot tax goes into effect tomorrow. I say we show the tax office downtown what we think about them taking our money for a product we deserve for free." John turned and lifted a box from his desk behind him. She heard the clinking of glass hitting glass as he opened up the box.
"You're gonna stop them by getting them drunk?"
a woman who looked no more than 20 asked.
"I was studying history and read that in the 70s, our brothers and sisters were successful in disrupting these root causes of oppression with the use of Molotov cocktails."
John began to hand out a bottle to everyone in the room, along with a strip of fabric.
"I'm almost done finding a way for us to buy the heavier-duty stuff. This'll have to work."
"What kind of stuff?"
another voice asked.
"Explosives. I found a supporter who can build us bombs large enough to facilitate our plan by our target date in 3 weeks. That will be our grand finale. Until then, I have a list of soft targets. Companies that hurt the environment, companies that spend our tax dollars, police and fire departments, and government buildings. We will hit these as we make our way to the finale."
Evie couldn't stand there and listen to him any further. He was talking about killing innocent people. This had to be a joke. John wouldn't know the real world if it bit him in the ass, but here he was advocating for anarchy. Evie shoved the door open, but it hit a person sitting behind it so that the door only opened wide enough for her face to be seen.
"Jonathan Ellis, what the hell are you doing?"
John turned his dazzling smile on her, only this time it looked cold. He turned and blocked his computer, but she'd already seen the A symbol for anarchy.
"Sis, you're home early?"
"John, you can't hurt innocent people. You're just joking, right? This is some online meetup of that video game you play so much. Are you world building?"
Evie felt her heart beating hard as she clutched the straps of her old leather backpack purse in her hands.
"Yeah, we're world building, sis. We're starting a whole new world with no one telling us what we can and can't do. Will you help?"
John turned to the people sitting in his room.
"My sister works at an insurance company, a company that denies claims. That company doesn't care about you and me. Do you care about us, sis?"
Evie stopped breathing when John looked back at her with cold, dangerous eyes.
"What's happened to you?" she asked in a whisper.
"I've seen the light, dear sister. I'm tired of being told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So, dear sister, are you just going to try to tell me what to do?"
John took a step closer to the door, and Evie instinctively took a step back.
"Go get her," John ordered.
Evie saw three men stand up and didn't stick around to see what happened next. Evie spun and ran down the hall, past the narrow galley kitchen to the front door. In one motion, she opened the door with her left hand and grabbed her car keys with the right. Then she was racing down the apartment hall, screaming as she went. Doors opened and the three men were still behind her. She didn't dare stop running. People were staring, but they weren't coming out of their apartments to help. It left Evie no choice but to shove the door to the stairwell open and race down the concrete stairs. She kept going until she reached the underground level where her car was parked.
"Sister!"
Evie looked over her shoulder, but it wasn't John calling her name. It was one of the three men he'd sent after her. The other two had broken off and were trying to flank her. That one quick look was all it took for her to know this wasn't a game. This was life or death. Her stepbrother had gone mad. Evie grabbed the handle of her car and it automatically unlocked with the key in her hand. She had the door open and was about to get in when a hand clamped around her arm. Evie spun around and his fist connected to her face. Pain burst along her cheek, causing tears to stream down her face. Evie didn't think, she only reacted. She jabbed the key she had clutched in her hand into the man's face. With a sickening sound, the key sunk into the man's cheek. The man screamed, but Evie screamed louder, yanking the bloody key from his face as he staggered back, clutching his cheek. She was in the car, locking the door and starting the engine before a bloody hand smashed against the driver's door window. Evie put the car in reverse without even looking behind her and floored it. She felt her car hit something and heard another scream. She didn't stop backing up until she had room to pull out. When she was ready to put the car into drive, she was blocked by two men standing shoulder to shoulder. One had a bloody face.
"We won't hurt you."
She knew better.